Nashville's Morning News, 7:32. Speaker Beth Harwell in the studio with us. We'll get to her in just a second. Dow futures up 63, NASDAQ futures up 21. Oil is down 3 cents at 56.35. Gold is up $8 at 12.01. The 10-year bond yielding 188. That is down one tick. Next market snapshot at 8.05, courtesy of Beacon Capital Management, on the web at beaconcm.com. House Speaker Beth Harwell, welcome to Nashville's Morning News. What a pleasure to have you in here.
Thank you. It's nice to join you in person this morning, Ralph.
We should do this like once a week or something for like hours and hours.
Oh,
you just
take over
my show and answer. Well, I have to ask you about some unfinished business first. The Spivey bill on Common Core.
Right.
Is that coming up for a vote today?
Well, it was voted on last night and passed, but it still has to go to the Senate now. So it's not completely ready to go to the governor's desk. But I really commend Representative Spivey. He worked hard on coming up with what I think is an excellent way to repeal Common Core in this state.
So you're fully behind that. That's the right way to go. And it's
going to
lead to an excellent set of education standards written by Tennesseans for Tennesseans. And it's going to be just as good and tough as any other national standard so that Tennessee students don't get off the hook.
Absolutely. That's right. That's the key. It's developed by Tennesseans for Tennessee students. And without a doubt, we don't want to go backwards in education. We want to continue to have high standards and move our children forward. We've made great strides. We need to keep the progress.
How long is this going to take? And when do you expect to have new standards and new testing to meet those standards?
2017, we'll be ready to go.
2017.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything kind of starts over from there because it's going to be hard to measure performance against previous years because we're going to have different testing and everything else.
Right.
It's going to be a while before we really know how well this is working, I guess.
Well, I guess it will take a little while, and that's an adjustment that our teachers and our school systems are going to have to make. But I think they're prepared to, and if we give them enough time to ease into it and have proper training, I think they'll do just fine.
All right. So that bill passed the House by a pretty wide margin?
Yes.
And goes to the Senate. Senate will vote on it next. What about the voucher bill? Where's that?
It is in budget sub this morning. They'll be meeting at 8 o'clock.
Still in budget sub.
Still in budget
sub. That's pretty deep.
Yes. It's a controversial bill. There's no doubt about it. But I will tell you that it really applies to those children that are failing in failing schools, low-income children in failing schools, and they themselves are failing. Some members want to broaden it. And it's right now the bottom 5% of our schools. They want to take it to the bottom 10% of our schools so they can go out into more rural areas. And that's really the sticking point right now. And that's what budget sub will have to decide today. But I do think for some children who have never known anything but a failing school, it's time to make a change.
Does it matter that much as we're getting started, whether it's 5% or 10%? Is that really worth killing the bill over?
In my estimation, it's not. But again, every member has a vote, and they all represent different districts. So I'm going to defer to that budget subcommittee.
You're behind the bill, though.
I am behind the bill.
You're behind. Okay. The Guns and Parks bill is passed,
yes,
but the governor hasn't signed it yet.
That's correct.
Do you expect him to veto it?
Well, I can't talk for him. You'll have to ask him that.
You talk to him, don't you?
I do talk to him. That's correct.
You have asked him, haven't you?
I have asked him. I think he has some legitimate concerns with the legislation. I mean, I actually voted for the gun-carrying permit holders to carry in state parks. That was back in 2009.
Right.
In that original legislation, we said to locals, you make your own decisions. Some local parks chose to have guns. Others did not. Now we're going in and taking that local authority away from them. And that, I think, is the rubbing point for the governor, and legitimately so. So I imagine he'll sign it with a caveat, with some sort of, this is why I basically have a philosophical difference with this aspect of it.
But you think he will let it go through?
Either with a signature or without his signature.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because there are those that are expecting a veto, and they want a veto session scheduled in advance just in case there's a veto. Have you any inclination to do that?
Well, the nice thing about this is we don't adjourn, sine die. So we're not technically out of session. We'll come right back in January, and it will still be the 109th General Assembly. See, there's no election period here. So I could, as Speaker, if he vetoes it and my members want to come back in, I can call any day as Speaker a veto override and we come in.
You can.
Yes.
You're really in recess. You're not in sine die.
Right. Exactly.
And you don't have to have the 2/3 majority in to call.
Well, I still would have to have that, but I feel easily we could have that with this bill, given its passage.
You think you could?
Yes.
Think you could get them back without scheduling it in advance?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. You sound like you are in line with the governor on that. You would prefer that the local communities be able to keep their bans if they want to.
Right. But I will say quickly that we are in compliance with 39 other states allowing gun carrying permit holders to carry in states. And, of course, the federal government allows gun carrying permit holders to carry in our federal parks. So I would encourage locals to look at it, because since 2009, we have not had any incident of a gun carrying permit holder causing a problem in our state parks. They are very responsible citizens. But again, I firmly believe in local control as much as possible.
Do you believe it is more dangerous for gun carriers to be able to carry in the parks, or less dangerous, or neither?
Well, again, I will tell you, we haven't had a significant incident since we put the bill in law in 2009. The one thing I will add in Davidson County is kind of a unique situation. Our basic planning, we actually planned for our city parks to be right adjacent to our schools. So if you're in my district and you go down Weston Middle School, right in front of it is the city park, Elmington. And that causes a lot of concern for my mayor and city council, and I'm respectful of their opinion.
Concerned, but is it legitimate concern if it doesn't actually cause more danger? And if there's a conflict between the Second Amendment to the Constitution and a preference or a fear, whether it's a legitimate fear or not, by a local official, shouldn't the state side on the part of the Constitution unless the state believed there actually is a danger?
You made the exact argument that was made by the proponents of the bill on the floor, and it is a legitimate one. So, again, I respected the fact that the bill passed, and I think the governor will respect that as well, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah. There is an awful lot of pressure by the hospitals and by the Tennessean newspaper to get the governor to try one more time to pass Insure Tennessee, maybe have another special session to consider Insure Tennessee. Would that be worthwhile?
Well, I think the governor expressed it well, and when he said that, you know, we really can't repeat that history again. In other words, something has to change in the program, or minds have to change. There's no need for us to come back into special session until something has changed.
Yeah. Now, other than the Spivey bill and the vouchers and the guns in the park, there just hasn't been a lot of legislation that's got a lot of attention, at least by the media. Maybe there's a lot of things happening that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. But this seems to have been a fairly quiet session.
Well, I think we've done some very good things. I mean, I'll tell you something Tennesseans kind of take for granted in this state, which they shouldn't, is that we always balance that budget. And we begin work on balancing the budget in February. We'll start meeting on that. And the fact that we can pass a $33 billion budget and it be balanced, and that we restore money into our rainy day funds, about $73 million is restored there. The fact that we've continued to lower taxes, our whole income taxes being lowered again, I think that bodes well for the General Assembly. Our number one responsibility is to balance that budget, and we do it without a lot of bickering and fighting like you see in Washington, D.C., which is and we still remain the lowest debt state in the nation and third lowest tax. That's quite a credit to my General Assembly.
You did not take on the gas tax or wishes that we could by the State Transportation Department and Senator Corker and others that we could somehow get more revenue for roads and bridges. Is that something that obviously is not going to happen this year? Is it something that's going to happen before you go sine-die next year, do you think?
It wouldn't surprise me if an initiative is put forth, a bill. You know, the tragedy of all of this, and again, I'm showing my partisanship here. I mean, one of the main reasons I'm a Republican is I believe domestic issues should be handled at the state and local level where they can be effectively and efficiently run and managed. And it really aggravates me when I see all that federal money going to Washington, D.C., wasted. If we had all the money returned to the states in block grants, whether it's in education or roads, we would be able to fund everything and not have to tax the people anymore.
There's been some talk that this hospital assessment that is basically the hospital assesses itself a tax in order to attract the Medicaid dollars, that it might not even be constitutional. It might be an unconstitutional way for that Medicaid match. And then the governor wanted to do it even bigger time, I guess, with Insure Tennessee. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on that? Do we need to change that in any way?
It would cost the state to do so, right? It would cost a great deal. I don't think we financially can afford to change it right now. I do think it's somewhat questionable. We've never had an AG's opinion on it. I don't know that we really want an AG's opinion on it because it is the way we fund a lot of our health care here in the state of Tennessee. And it is, you know, it's a voluntary hospital assessment. They have come up with the plan and the General Assembly has approved it. So for now, I think it's the best option we have.
Yeah. Now, this can be a little bit risky, but I'd like you to hold on through the break and then come back and we'll ask for a phone call or two.
Okay.
See if anybody wants to ask you a question because there's so many different things that people have on their mind that may not match up with what I'm interested or what I know about. So if you've got a phone call for House Speaker Beth Harwell, if you've got a question for her, Keep it, you know, nice and short and to the point, please. 737-9986 and be polite. 737-WWTN, email Ralph at 997. You can send a question to email to Ralph at 997-WTN.com. All right, it's your turn, and she has to go in about 6 minutes. So your questions or comments for Speaker Beth Harwell here on Nashville Morning News, 737-9986. Speaker Harwell has been nice enough to agree to come into the studio, sit down, and take your question. Now, you probably are going to be able to hear them through those headphones that are sitting right there, even if you don't have them on, but you'll hear them a lot better if you do have them on. So that'd be great. All right, we start with Tom, who has a question about the Guns and Parks Bill. Tom, good morning. You're on Nashville Morning News.
Good morning, Ralph. Morning, Speaker Harwell. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I want to start off by saying I'm a permit-carrying, gun-carrying owner, and I'm in support of the Guns and Parks Bill. But I would like to also ask a couple of questions. One clarification. It seems that some who were in favor of the bill also opposed the legislative FISA as far as being able to have permit-carrying gun owners carry up by the state capitol. It seems a little bit contradictory to me that it would be more of a, you know, kind of everybody's for it except not my backyard. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, if people who are in favor of it are not opposed to gun owners carrying a firearm next to where children might be playing at a park, but they are concerned about, you know, gun owners carrying at the state capitol,
okay. Tom, thank you. I'm so tempted to answer that for you, but you're sitting right here.
Well, go. You can take
a
shot, too.
No, I want to hear your answer.
Well, I would agree with the caller that a lot of legislators thought that was the height of hypocrisy, that we would demand it of our cities that they take this measure, but we didn't do it at the state capitol, and thus the amendment was offered. I think the amendment, quite frankly, was offered by a Democrat in not a constructive manner, but as rather a way to add a fiscal note on the bill, and then the keep in mind the state capitol is armed and guarded by the troopers, and so that got them engaged. So I don't think it was offered in a constructive manner. I wouldn't be surprised that that bill is introduced in the regular session next time. But I think some members thought, and including the National Rifle Association, who of course supported the Guns and Parks bill, thought that it was a way to derail the bill rather than to support the bill. So that's the reason why it was stripped out in the conference committee.
And because it is a closed atmosphere where anybody who enters has to go through an armed guard and be checked, it's much easier to keep people from bringing, you know, criminals from bringing guns in. Most gun-free zones are not, you know, they're gun-free for law-abiding citizens, but not for criminals. Mm-hmm. This is a gun-free zone for everybody because there is a system to make sure nobody has a gun. That's a pretty important
difference. That's correct. That's a very good
about whether it's, absolutely, you know, whether it's safe to have a gun-free zone. It's much safer to have the Capitol gun-free than it is to have a city park to be gun-free. Mm-hmm. Here is Heather in Franklin. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. I would like to ask a question about Common Core. I'm sure you know that in districts across the state, there was a lot of controversy about Common Core.
Mm-hmm.
When the legislature looked at Common Core, did they find specific problems, or is this "let's change Common Core" responsive to political action back in home counties?
Okay. Was this primarily a political decision, or are there good substantive reasons, in your opinion, to change Common Core, problems with Common Core that needed to be eliminated?
You know, I think it was a combination of both, Heather. It was, you know, yes, it had become Obamacore. And as you know, my legislature is predominantly Republican and very conservative, and there's not a lot of like for anything that the federal government sends down our way. This actually didn't come from the federal government. It came from the Conference of Governors, that they wanted to improve the standards for our states. However, I did have some parents who pointed things out in the testing and perhaps some of the ways that the math was taught. So I think this gives us an opportunity opportunity. The governor's had a whole website up. Parents, teachers, just concerned citizens can go on and actually review every single standard, make their comment to see whether they believe it's age appropriate or accomplishes the goal that we need to. And then from all that input from the public, and there has been a lot of hits on that website, a lot of people have commented, we're going to have Tennessee teachers and parents and school officials sit down in a room and come up with Tennessee standards. I think it's the right way to go, and it kind of overcomes any problems. There is some good methodology in Common Core. I've watched the instruction in two classrooms, but there were some legitimate concerns, and I just think this is a way for all of us to be comfortable with what we're teaching in our schools.
Do you agree that our standards were not high enough once upon a time?
Absolutely, they were not.
The Common Core made them higher,
yes.
But Common Core had problems of its own that needed to be eliminated, and we can have as high standards
Absolutely.
Without Common Core.
Absolutely, we can and we will.
Okay. Last question goes to Wayne in Gallatin. Wayne has a question about Insure Tennessee. Good morning, Wayne.
Morning, Ralph. Morning, Senator.
Good morning.
I got a question on the Insure Tennessee. Oh, and by the way, I am a handgun carry permit holder.
Okay, we're running out of time, so be quick, please.
Okay. But on Insure Tennessee, my question is about the federal money coming down. Mm-hmm. At some point, that money's going to stop, and then Tennessee would be left footing the bill. Is that not correct?
Yes. I mean, they made it quite clear from day one they were not going to fund this program forever. What we had tried to work out is for the hospitals to come in and make up the difference. But you're right. And, you know, in fairness to my legislators, keep in mind they've been through this once before. We expanded under Ned McWhorter to this same population on a copayment sliding scale. And by the time Governor Bredesen came in, he had to take all those people off the rolls because it had grown so large it was consuming every bit of our budget, state budget. So, you know, what you're pointing out is very true. We did it with Race to the Top. They gave us money, and then the money went away. And so now we've got these programs we've got to fund on our own at the state level. So it does happen, and that's why I think there was a level of caution on the part of my legislators.
Half of the money we spend in Tennessee comes from the federal government. There are going to be strings attached to that.
Right.
And it'd be nice to get to the point where all that, what is it, about a $30 billion budget?
Yes, $30 billion.
If that were all money that never went to Washington in the first place before it came back.
I'm with you 100% on that.
Absolute
that would be great.
Speaker Beth Harwell, pleasure to have you in
Thank
the studio.
You.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy
come back again.
You.